Shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Eliot Salo Schoenberg, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly, and this is Chodesh Tov. Chodesh Tov is a monthly 10-minute podcast that is a joint venture of the Schechter Rabbinical School in Jerusalem, the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, the Conservative Yeshiva in Jerusalem, and the International Rabbinical Assembly. The purpose of these podcasts is to regularly inform our colleagues, our rabbis, of the current thinking in a wide variety of fields of Jewish scholarship. Today, I am particularly pleased that we will be in conversation with my friend and my teacher, Rabbi Dr. Morty Schwartz, currently serving as the Adjunct Assistant Professor of Talmud Rabbinics at JTS, and he's also the Marion and Norman Kanzman Charitable Foundation Distinguished Scholar at the Pre-Collegiate Learning Center of New Jersey. He's working on a book based on his dissertation, which is tentatively titled Out of Zion, Rabbinic Travel in the Fourth Century. Welcome, Professor Schwartz.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
So let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit about the field. Give us the broader view. What's the old school been doing for a while? What's it look like?
Sure. So within the Talmud, we have, as you know, material from Eretz Israel, intellectual material from Eretz Israel and intellectual material from Babylonia. And the question that I'm dealing with is the question of how things move, how things, meaning ideas, moved back and forth, and also how the people moved back and forth in the 4th century, the various rabbis. There is a special group of rabbis in the Talmud called the Nachote, referred to as the Nachote. It's a group of about 10 rabbis. This term Nachote means literally your deem. It's the Aramaic term that means to go down from Eretz Israel. And throughout the Talmud, one finds that these individuals bring traditions from Eretz Israel to Babylonia and report them to Babylonian rabbis. They mostly do this in the 4th century. Now, the question that has come up, the question that is at issue is whether or not those rabbis were primarily responsible for bringing all of the materials from Eretz Israel that we see in the Babylonian Talmud, or is it only their traditions that were brought from Babylonia, and the other traditions made their way from Eretz Israel to Babylonia in other ways? The first person to address this question was in the late 19th century, Yitzhak Halevi, who himself is a very interesting figure. He was one of the founders of what we call the Agudat Yisrael, and was himself an itinerant scholar who spent much of his life traveling for business reasons. He had kind of an unsuccessful business career, but he was an itinerant scholar and an unsuccessful businessman who spent time traveling all around Central and Eastern Europe. And so what he imagined in the late 19th and early 20th century was that these Nachote were essentially business travelers, itinerant scholars, who, when they brought traditions they picked up traditions they would study, being in Eretz Israel for business purposes, and then bringing them to Babylonia. And that was the old thinking. He also assumed that is in general the way that traditions made their way from Eretz Israel to Babylonia. One of the interesting things about his assumptions is that they were sort of more or less accepted by the entire academic world of Talmud. It was taken almost as a truism through the 1960s and 70s that the main route, the primary vector for material to come from Eretz Israel to Babylonia was through this group of rabbis referred to as the Nachote. Now, a lot of work has been done since then about Bavli and Yerushalmi parallels, the fact that we have sugyot that mirror each other in the two Talmuds, and the question of how the two Talmuds came to look that way. One of the primary scholars who in America, at least, who's been working on that question, is Alyssa Gray, who's at HUC. And she wrote a book a few years ago called The Talmud in Exile, where she actually claimed that the editors of the Bavli actually had a copy of the Yerushalmi in front of them as they were going about their work of putting the Bavli together. And she made an even more radical claim that the Yerushalmi had come to Babylonia in the form of a scroll in a relatively late period, possibly as late as the 5th or 6th century. It does seem that there is much more large-scale influence. That's also been confirmed by, at this point, by the work of Richard Kalman, who's here at JTS. And it does not seem that one can attribute the kind of large-scale influence that we see to the Nachote. So that leaves us with a question, the problem that I'm actually trying to answer. What were they doing? Why are they important? Why are they a special group? How did travel actually work in the 4th century amongst rabbis? And by using cross-cultural comparisons with Christian and Zoroastrian travel in the 4th century, it's pretty clear to me that in the 4th century, pilgrimage was a burgeoning and growing religious form. And one of the aspects of pilgrimage was that the predictions, the assumptions, the attitudes of the home community were reinforced by the pilgrims. In other words, you would, just like today, you might go off to Paris and you're going to come back and you're going to tell people, I saw the Eiffel Tower, I saw the Mona Lisa, and the Parisians, they were rude to me, that those are all assumptions that we sort of have. Those are the things that you kind of have to see. That would also be what the pilgrims would do. Oh, I saw, you know, this monk in Syria, and he looked just like John the Baptist. And that was my experience going. And so I thought, well, maybe it's the same thing with the Nachote. And in fact, what I did is I analyzed their traditions in Seder Moed. There are 103 Nachotian traditions in Seder Moed. And I discovered that out of those 103 traditions, only 10 are new traditions previously unknown in Babylonia. All the others either provide a new authority, meaning a new rabbi to attribute that already known tradition to, or it modifies a tradition already known in Babylonia, or they clarify a tradition already known in Babylonia, but they do not generally repeat new traditions. So this leads me to conclude we're not talking about business travelers here, we're talking about pilgrims who are being specifically sent to Eretz Israel to find out answers to questions which are already known, about traditions which are already known in Babylonia, and then are coming back giving reports. Note, they are pilgrims for Torah, though.
So they were sent on a mission.
That's my thinking now. That is my thinking. I don't have a smoking gun, but I come to that conclusion just by looking at the large number of traditions and how they actually play themselves out.
So you were talking about that they were sent on a mission.
Yeah.
Right, so where do we go from there?
So the place that I think, why is this significant? You're asking the relevance question is really what you're asking. So how is this relevant to us? I think that the way that it's relevant, first of all, is that one of the ways that we create our sense of identity and purpose in the world as Jews is by traveling. I think that if you look at our base and root stories, right, the Exodus is a story of travel, right? Exile and return are stories of travel. And one of the ways that we create sort of our sense of Jewishness identity is by going back to Eretz Israel. And you can see that today sort of with birthright trips, with missions, a whole variety of things. I think that's exactly what's going on with these Nachote as well. They're being sent by the rabbis in Babylonia to Eretz Israel. But there's an assumption that when they come back, it's going to reinforce the identity that they already have. The traditions that they have, they already know. It's just you have to go off to Eretz Israel and come back to the diaspora in order to understand fully the Torah that you already have.
Is it going the reverse way as well? Is it going from Eretz Israel to Bavel and back in a similar way for a similar or different purpose?
So you know, it's an interesting question. I think that almost all of these rabbis have the title Rav, meaning that they're Babylonians. There's one major exception, and that's the figure known as Ula, who seems to have been born in Eretz Yisrael, gone to Babylonia, and then come back to Eretz Yisrael. He's the major assumption, the one who stands out, who's different. Now, I'm more interested in the question of sort of diaspora identity, how rabbinic identity develops in the diaspora, and I'm less interested in how Eretz Israeli identity develops by going into the diaspora and then back to Eretz Israel. I think that's an interesting question, but it's not one that I have considered in the same way.
So one of the more important things that you are saying is that if you are in isolation,
yeah,
and only can look at yourself and what you have around you, you may know a lot, but you don't have a way to confirm or to disagree.
That's right.
It's only when you see something else and you can make a comparison, can you make a judgment about what you have.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true. And I think there's also a really interesting contradiction going on here, that on the one hand, you grow up and you feel very part of the culture in the place where you grow up. And you have an image of this other place which gives you identity. I'm not like that place. I'm like this place. I'm not, for instance, an Israeli Jew. I'm an American Jew. But you only really feel like an American Jew once you've actually gone to Israel and come back. And so the same thing's really going on with these Babylonian rabbis, that they are going to Eretz Yisrael and confirming their Babylonian tradition. And that's why the traditions look so Babylonian when they come back from Eretz Yisrael as well. And they don't look like the other Eretz Yisraeli traditions that we find in the Talmud.
Professor Schwartz, thank you so much. It's been terrific. We loved having you. Everyone, let's remind you that this is Chodesh Tov, a monthly podcast of the International Rabbinical Assembly. Your host has been Elliot Schoenberg, wishing you all Chodesh Tov.